We often think that mentoring is like formal training, like teaching a subject to someone younger than you. Barbara Newman says that's not what younger women today are looking for when they're looking for an older woman to mentor them.
They want to hear stories from our life. They want to know, how did your faith work for you in this difficult situation? And I want to hear what you did on that day when you wanted to walk out on your marriage. I want to hear about that time where you felt like you just couldn't deal with your kids another minute longer. And it's these life-giving stories, these real stories where they soak up biblical truth.
Yeah.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Ramey, and I'm Bob Lapine. Your life is full of examples, both good and bad, of what it means to follow Christ. As you open up and share those examples with younger people, that's when authentic mentoring starts to happen. We'll talk more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us on the Wednesday edition. I had a friend of mine who, I think he'd written on a notebook that he used to carry with him, but I saw it and I tweeted it out because I thought this was profound what he said. He said, "You are, or you will be, the composite of the five people you spend the most time with." And I thought, that's a pretty interesting thought. Who we become as people is a composite of who we spend the most time with. Who are the five most influential people in our lives?
Yeah, and I heard someone say the people you know and the books you read are those influencers in our lives, and people are the living books who impact our lives. And we have a couple of Dallas Theological Seminary professors with us. A
couple of living books who are joining us?
Living books who teach the book.
We do.
At Dallas Seminary, Dr. Sue Edwards and Dr. Barbara Newman join us again on Family Life Today. Barbara, Sue, welcome back.
Thank you.
They've written a book called Organic Mentoring. You know, the word organic just kind of brings a grin to my face because I had four daughters, so I can tell this anonymously. One of our daughters was dated by a guy who defined his relationship with my daughter. He said, "I just want us to have an organic relationship."
Yes, and not surprising.
And, and you went, "What is that?"
And I did.
No pesticides used.
No pesticides. And so I kind of began to watch this thing evolve. And basically what he was wanting was something without purpose, something that just kind of meandered along and didn't want to have, you know, any direction to it.
Well, at some level, it sounds like what he wanted, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but you ladies have described what younger women often want today is something that is a little borderless, a little boundaryless. Mm-hmm. It's I want access to this when I want it or need it, but I don't want to be bothered with it any other time. Now, that's okay in a mentor-mentee relationship. It's maybe less okay in a dating, marriage relationship.
Yeah, at some point, you got to be, you know, you got to determine your intentions here.
Yes.
You all aren't saying that there can't be some intentionality in the mentoring relationship, right, Barbara?
Absolutely not. When they use the word organic, what they're indicating is that they want something that is more natural. Something that fits into life more naturally instead of something that is contrived. But, you know, the whole organic movement started with food, but now it's a lifestyle with many in this younger generation. It's the way they live. It forms a lot of their preferences. So, yes, even maybe extending into a dating relationship, but we don't think that organic means without any kind of foundational structure.
You had a friend who approached you a while back and said, "There's a young woman I know who's struggling. Would you mind meeting with the two of us?"
Right.
So it was kind of a three-way get-together for coffee. Mm-hmm. Tell us what happened in that situation.
We had the highest hopes. I knew how to help this young woman who was struggling, and the third party that invited us to meet knew that. So she was absolutely sure that this was a partnership that would work well and that was needed. So, yes, I agreed to meet. We had a great conversation. The young woman who needed help indicated that she would definitely get back in touch with me, but I never heard from her again. But that didn't surprise me because I didn't know her. And mostly, she didn't know me. The trust was not there. It was a pleasant conversation. But because, again, it was a contrived relationship, it didn't go anywhere.
So sometimes these attempts to see if there's something there, it's one cup of coffee and then nothing happens after that.
Yeah. Nothing may happen, and that's fine. Yeah. That's part of the process of determining where the Holy Spirit is at work, who he has for you in this natural opportunity. It's going to be all part of the process.
It's interesting. I was talking recently with an almond farmer in California. This guy has an almond grove, about 60 acres. He grows almonds for a living. And I said, are your almond trees organic? And he kind of smiled. He said, organic's a big word. He said,
big word.
We use a minimum amount of pesticides. He explained that with the almond, the nut is so protected from the hull that the nut almost never gets any pesticide approaching it. But he said, with organic farms, the yield is so much lower than it is with the cultivated farm. He said that the reason organic products cost so much more is because the yield is so much lower per acre. When you talk about organic mentoring, it may be a lower yield, but it may be a higher quality kind of yield that you're getting.
Well, I'm not sure it's a lower yield. I think it's something that young women and men, the younger generations, it's moved into their relationships. It doesn't mean they're without intentionality. It just means that there's a natural flow to it. It's the same thing with a spouse. I mean, here are all these different people when you're young and you're looking for a life partner, and suddenly there's this click, and sometimes you can't even explain it. It just is there. And when that click is there, then there's a natural likelihood that relationship can blossom and thrive if it's based on the right things. It's the same thing with this.
It may feel like a lower yield, though, because organic mentoring is harder to measure.
Yes.
When we had our structured programs, we could count the number of women involved. Mm-hmm. We could look at the curriculum that was covered, and we felt like we could measure, okay, this is what we've accomplished. But with organic mentoring, that's not possible.
Yeah.
You can't measure what's happening in the younger person's life. But we know by talking to these women that every conversation is transformational. That's what they tell us.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to her or every time I talk to him, I learn something very important.
Yeah.
About a dozen years ago, I was invited by a friend, Crawford Loritz, who had a burden for connecting an older generation of men with a bunch of younger guys. And he established a mentoring relationship with four young men for me, which now, some 12 years later, continues on for two of the four.
Okay.
So this was more programmatic, what Crawford was doing. It's back to the old model.
Well, it was programmatic in how it kicked off.
Right.
Because it formed a retreat where a bunch of guys got together. And some of the clicking that you ladies have talked about, where there's chemistry and kindred spirit occurred there. And that became kind of how they allocated, these four guys go with him, these four guys go with this other man. And it's interesting now, back to your point of measurement, Barbara, it's not always clear what kind of impact that's having. Mm-hmm. But it is having an impact. Are these guys wouldn't continue to be meeting with me by
exactly.
phone.
Yes. Exactly. We can measure our impact by the fact that this young person continues to invite us to be a part of their life, continues to engage in those conversations, however random that may feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a continued impact.
And I recently asked a young man, because he's kind of nibbling around the edges, and he's been writing me and phoning me and saying some things to me, asking questions about different matters at home and at work, et cetera. And so finally just put an email together. I said, hey, how about you and I get together once a month for a year? And at the end of the year, we'll evaluate and we'll decide if we continue on. How about that? So I still haven't heard from him. He may decide not to do it. Uh-huh. It's okay.
Yeah.
It really is okay. Yeah. But it seemed like there was a mutual benefit that could occur in that relationship. And I say mutual because the person who's doing the mentoring always benefits.
Mm-hmm.
He always, yes. She always
yes.
benefits
yes.
from this, right?
Yes, yes.
Right.
And that's what one thing they're saying is that they even identify it as reverse mentoring, that even though they're younger and not as far along in some areas of their life, they expect that you as a mentor will benefit as well. Mm-hmm. And I think Barbara and I would both say that we have gained, I understand my daughters, I understand the younger generations, I understand a lot more about technology. If I have something that I need to know, as all of this crazy technology comes up on us mm-hmm. in a tidal wave of, oh my goodness, now I got to figure this out, I have women that can help me with that. And yeah. and they love it and they expect it. It's much more of a sense of mutuality. It used to be that the spotlight was on the mentor and it was all about sitting at the mentor's feet and you giving out all of your wisdom and they soaking it up. And that picture to them puts them off. They're much more mm-hmm. about mutuality. They right. feel like they have something to give in this, and I found they really do.
Right.
And it takes the pressure. I don't have to feel like this tower of wisdom that if I somehow am
right.
not everything to everybody, they don't like that. If I try to be the Bible answer woman, they head for the exit.
They do. And what they want to hear from us is not the Bible answer that we might want to give them, but they want to hear stories from our life. They want to know, how did your faith work mm-hmm. for you in this difficult situation? And I want to hear what you did on that day when you wanted to walk out on your marriage. I want to hear about that time where you felt like you just couldn't deal with your kids another minute mm-hmm. longer. And it's these life-giving stories,
yeah.
these real stories
yeah.
where they soak up biblical truth.
Yeah.
It
and you can say, you can refer to the scriptures.
Of course.
But
yes.
they want to know, how does it work? How does it look? How did it actually play out? If you say, I have peace because of the Holy Spirit, they want to say, well, when did that happen, and how does that look in your life? And give me an example. So they want to know how life works.
Mm-hmm. We are we're talking today to Sue Edwards and Barbara Newman, authors of the book Organic Mentoring, on Family Life Today. And you ladies have been around Dallas Seminary long enough to know that the best professors at a seminary, there's a little mentoring going on, not just in the classroom, but outside the classroom.
Absolutely.
As well. In fact, Dennis would identify one of the primary mentors in his life, mm-hmm. having been somebody whose classes he sat in back in the early 70s. And I'm guessing you could pick which professor that was.
And it
you?
Was probably, it was a mentor to me too, Howard Hendricks.
Right.
Yes.
But it continued beyond the classroom.
Yes.
It may have started there from kind of getting to know you standpoint, but he showed personal interest in me.
Yes.
I mean, he brought a lot of life mm-hmm. just by believing in me mm-hmm. and encouraging me along the way. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I want you ladies to comment on here, because I think a lot of women today and men don't see themselves as mentors because they don't think they're smart enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Howard Hendricks, okay, you can understand why he would be a mentor. He taught for 60 years, had 13,000 students in his classes. I mean, okay, he's a mentor. But the person who's listening to this broadcast and, you know, driving a truck or on her way to school taking the kids to drop them off, how do they know if they have something they can pass on to a younger generation?
Yeah, I think this is our biggest obstacle today in the whole mentoring culture, and that is our older women overwhelmingly do not feel qualified, and as a result, they will not respond to the natural opportunities that are popping up with the women around them. So this is what we need to address, I think, Dennis, helping our older women to understand that if you are following Christ and you've been doing that for a little while, then you know some things. You have worked out some things. You have found the Bible to be true in your life in a number of different ways. And this is what our younger women are absolutely hungry to hear. They want to hear about your life, your life with God, how the Bible has worked for you, and any woman can do that.
But here's part of the reason that feels intimidating is because you know at some point you're going to be sitting across the table from a younger woman who's going to say, I'm struggling with this in my life, and you're going to think, I have no clue how to help you.
Right.
I don't know what to say to that.
And, you know, I think that's all right. You can learn this together. You can kick this around. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have the answers. In fact, if you always come across with the answers, they feel that you're not honest. Mm-hmm. And they actually respond, almost demand that you be real with them. Authenticity is huge. A lot of them come from broken homes today. We're looking at a generation where words don't mean that much. Promises don't mean that much. It's going to take some time with some of these women to trust you. And you don't just say, well, I'm still a sinner. But then you never will say how.
Yeah.
You know, many years ago when I was your age, I messed up here.
Yes.
They're going, what?
Right.
Aren't you still a real person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've got to stop you there and ask Barbara this question because you scooted by a statement, I thought.
Okay.
Was that something that you thought about doing? Mm-hmm. You scooted by a statement where you said, yeah, they want to know when you almost walked out on your marriage. Mm-hmm. Was that true of you?
It was true of me. Very definitely, I came to that point where I thought, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. I feel trapped. But I did sit down. It was on my front porch. I went outside and I sat down and I thought, how do I get out of this?
How many years had you been married?
Oh, probably about 10.
Had some kids?
Oh, we had 3 kids.
So there was a lot at stake.
There was a lot at stake, and that's why I knew that I had a huge dilemma on my hand. Being a believer, I knew that I couldn't walk away from my marriage without problems before God. I knew that. But I also didn't know how to stay.
So what happened on the steps as you sit there?
Yeah. I cried. I prayed. I pleaded for help. And I decided that for the sake of my children, for the sake of my faith, that I couldn't walk away, that I had to go back in and I had to figure out a way to make this work. And I did. My husband did. But it was a process. You know, we had some dysfunctional things going on in our marriage that we needed to work on. So, yes, there were some dark days.
You know, I'm so glad you ladies brought this up because I mentioned on an earlier broadcast that Family Life started an e-mentoring guide to equip folks who want to be a mentor, some training to walk them through, to give them confidence, because the confidence issue is the number one obstacle.
It is.
But I asked Gary Blunier, who heads this up here at Family Life, I said, what's the number one issue? And this was fascinating, what he said. He said, the number one issue is you have got a generation of young people coming out of broken homes.
Yes.
Who have never seen it modeled.
Yep, that is true.
And they're coming to our website because they're saying, we want to make it.
Yes.
We don't want to walk out. We don't want to quit.
That's right.
Because we bore the pain of those who did.
Yes.
Help us figure this out. Coach us. Encourage us. But to your point, Barbara, they're going to demand that we be authentic and take them into the interior of our lives and let them know when we struggled, where we blew it, where we weren't doing what we were supposed to do.
Right.
That's your most powerful.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. It is. You know, I think, Dennis, that when we tell stories that are authentic like this, we normalize the difficulty and pain of human life and human experience, and we also give hope. Mm-hmm. You know, if you made it through that tough time, I can too. And it's these real stories from our life that do that.
And not just in the past, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we struggle today. And I think it helps them to even know that we're still making it, even though we don't have all the answers. That gives them hope.
So could I have my soapbox back?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'll stand on
Thank
the
you.
Side and just...
Thank you, Sue. It's been wrestled away by some very good people.
These women want to they want to plant an orchard, an organic orchard.
They do.
We do.
Here's what I want to say to the listener, though. This is not a side issue.
That's right.
We can grouse and gripe about politics and what's happening in our country and the moral decay and moral decline. And you know what? That doesn't fix a thing. Mm-hmm. All it does is, I think, just kind of sour all of us. Mm-hmm. But instead, why not be a part of the orchard?
That's right.
And decide to plant where you are and grow some fruit in the lives of some young women, mm-hmm. young men, and begin to mentor them and disciple them in the book. And if they're looking for a great way to do that, this book, Organic Mentoring, is really an excellent guide. It's not going to solve every problem you're going to face, but we've just said it's okay that you don't have the answers. Mm-hmm. That's a part of mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing you don't have the answers, but knowing where to go to get them. Go to our website. Check it out. Over 8 million people last year. 8 million unique
wow.
people came to our website looking for help and hope biblically around issues they're facing. And a mentor can do that and guide a young person through some thorny mm-hmm. issues in life. And ladies, I just want to say thanks mm-hmm. for being on Family Life today. And thanks for your ministry at Dallas Theological Seminary as
thanks
well.
Thanks for inviting
yeah.
us.
Yes.
We have benefited much. Thank you so much.
And when you're ready to start planting some seeds and doing some organic mentoring, we've got the gardening book for you right here. You can go to familylifetoday.com.
Bob will come to your home and he will help you plant.
Till the soil.
He will help you plant the orchard.
Thank you for offering that on my behalf. You can go to familylifetoday.com.
You don't have a whole lot going on in your life.
No. You can go to our website at familylifetoday.com and get a copy of the book Organic Mentoring by Sue Edwards and Barbara Newman. Again, order online at familylifetoday.com or call to order 1-800-FL-TODAY. That's 1-800-358-6329. 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, in the middle of July, our schedules often look different than they do throughout the rest of the year. Certainly the weather looks different than it does throughout a lot of the rest of the year. But one of the things that stays the same is our relationships within a family. Our marriage and family relationships continue to have their ups and downs no matter what the weather or what our schedule looks like. And in Family Life, we want to be here day in and day out to help provide practical biblical help and hope for marriages and families. The thing that's exciting for us is that we're seeing more and more people, actually more and more people worldwide, who are connecting with Family Life, who are downloading this daily radio program or signing up to receive it as a podcast in their podcast stream. Family Life Today is all about effectively developing godly marriages and families. And we are in partnership in doing that with those of you who not only listen to this program, but those of you who make this program possible through your financial support. We're donor supported, and the dollars you invest go to producing and syndicating this program, helping us reach more people more regularly. If you can help us with a donation here in the middle of the summer months when things are often a little slower for ministries like ours, we'd love to send you a thank you gift today. It's Dennis Rainey's new book. It's called Choosing a Life That Matters, and it's a great book for a recent high school graduate or a recent college graduate. It's actually a good book for families to go through. You could take a chapter at a time and discuss each of the principles that Dennis writes about in this book. The book is our gift to you when you go online today to donate. Our website is familylifetoday.com. You can also call to donate. Our number is 1-800-FL-TODAY. And you can mail your donation to us. Ask for the book when you write to Family Life Today at Box 7111, Little Rock, Arkansas. And our zip code is 72223. And we appreciate whatever financial support you're able to provide for this ministry. And we hope you can join us back tomorrow. We're going to talk about worry and anxiety and fear and how we handle those things. Our guest will be Dr. Winfred Neely, who's a pastor in Chicago. Hope you can be with us as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.